This morning from the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, starting at verse number 10, let us reread it from the King James Version, if you will. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Right there from verse number 13, if you will, we want to take for a subject that ye may be able to withstand the evil day. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. The theme of a couple of weeks ago, we had our gospel meeting, and the theme of that meeting this year was no longer tossed to and fro. We heard several visiting evangelists speak on the text of Ephesians chapter 4 around verse number 14. They taught us on how that we no longer should be carried away with every wind that comes along. That we not be as children carried away by the doctrine of slick men. Today, I want to add just another piece to those messages which we have heard. For you see, there is a reason why we must learn not to be drawn away by men. We don't want to be drawn away by men with their smooth and mellow sounds, which are mostly lies and untruths anyway. We are a people who like good, smooth sayings. We like things to sound good to us. We don't always care whether these things be truthful or not, just so they sound good. Today, I want us to concentrate on the matter at hand today, how we can withstand the evil days that are coming our way. This means that Satan is going to try us, and we need to make sure that we are able to withstand him by standing with the Lord, preparing ourselves, and learning to help others, so they may prepare as well. So this morning, from that text, let us get into our message this morning. I want to talk first about one who has or who did withstand. The Bible is full of great stories. Stories that could make even the best movies out of Hollywood seem pale in comparison. Because all of the Bible stories are real. No actors, no actresses, no one in makeup, no director hollering or yelling, cut or action. No egotistical stars, just some of God's people. The text tells us in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6, the text says that we may be able to withstand. And that's the part of that many of us don't get. If we just travel back to yesteryear, and I want you to watch what happened in Genesis, in the first book in your Bible, in Genesis, around about chapter number 39, we have a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph had been made overseer. He had been made overseer of his master's house and everything that the master owned. You might say that Joseph was part of the elite crowd, if you will. You see, Joseph had the blessings of the Lord, but in every good movie, there's always a twist. When you sit at home or you go to the movie house and you're sitting there, you're watching a movie and you're always trying to find out where is the twist going to come in at. And this story of Joseph is no exception. I want you to note something. This is not a movie, but it could win all of the Academy Awards in every category. I'll tell you why. It had the right star. It had the right storyline. But most of all, it had the right director, God. One day, Potiphar's wife told Joseph in verse number 7 of Genesis 39, she said, come and lie with me. Now, if there's anyone here who doesn't get what that means, meet me at the back door and I'll explain it further. But she said, come and lie with me. As you see, the movie is beginning to build up now, but this is not a movie. This is a true story. When you look at this matter from all the way back, I can see some of us saying right now, what a good thing that might be. I can be over not only the master's assets,
but I can be over the master's entire house because I'll have his wife too.
But I tell you something. If anybody here doesn't understand this whole principle of the matter, the whole principle of the matter is that Joseph was a man of God. If you go over with me in Genesis chapter 39, look around verse number 7, if you will. Actually, look around verse number 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So the master liked that. Joseph was in a good position, if you will. So the master said, I'm going to put you in charge of everything that I've got. But his wife had a different idea. She wanted him to be in charge of her too. Now what a movie this would be. I can see the headlines now. Watch the king's or watch the master's servant take over his house. Come see how this plays out, if you will, church. Come see how this all goes about. But I want you to look at verse number 12 of chapter 39 in Genesis chapter 39. In verse number 12, watch what the Bible says here. It says in verse number 12 that when she asked him, in verse number 7 is where she actually asked him. In verse number 7, and it came to pass that after these things that the master's wife cast her eyes up on Joseph and she said, lie with me. But then in verse number 12, look what happened. She caught him by his garment saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. In other words, he ran, church. He got out of that place. Little did Joseph know that later on that Paul was going to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 18, flee fornication. But he didn't know that then. But he was God's child and he was preparing to withstand the evil day. So Joseph was a man of God, and as a Christian, we must not let our guards down either. We must be able to stand the evil days. When you are a Christian, I said when you are a Christian. When you are a Christian and someone on your job tells you, makes a statement to you and they say something like, I didn't know you were a Christian. If they tell you, I didn't know you were a Christian, that means you're not adhering to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16 where the Bible says, let your light so shine that men in front of men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Isn't that what the text says? Yes, this was not your typical love story. It was not a romantic comedy, but it was a story of one man's love for the Lord. It was a story of one man who wanted to make sure that he got it right. So he ran. And I can see some of the men saying to themselves now, why would he run? Well, he was a child of God. And he knew that he had to get away from what was about to happen to him. And when you think about it, look at the text in Ephesians chapter 6. And look at verse number 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You've got to do all that you can. You've got to do everything that you can. You've got to be like Joseph. Sometimes you just have to run. If it's not right, you have to run. If it's not the way God said it ought to be, you ought to be running. And most men would say, well, preacher, that's kind of a hard thing to do. That's kind of a tough thing. I got all of this laying here or sitting here or standing here right in front of me and I can have all that a man would want. But you've got to run. You've got to flee. You've got to do just what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 18. You've got to flee fornication. Not only did Joseph withstand, but we must learn to withstand. We must withstand even when man says it's not right or when it's not politically correct. Well, you know how the game goes. You know how the game goes. We must learn to withstand the evils of this world. Men are full of ways to trick us into thinking wrong thoughts about God's word. This is why the text tells us in verse number 13 that we've got to learn to withstand. But then when you go back up to verse number 10 in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, now you got to take that to heart. You've got to understand that. The Bible is saying we've got to be strong in the Lord. Oh, there are a lot of things that men can be strong in. You may be able to bench press 200 or 300 pounds. You may be able to lift a big TV on your back and carry it down the stairs. But I'll tell you something. The Bible says be strong in the Lord. Being strong in the Lord means you know what the Lord wants of you. Being strong in the Lord means you know what the Lord's will is for your life. When we become strong in the Lord, we'll understand what Peter and John were talking about in Acts number 4. In verses number 18 through about verse 19, they were told by the powers that were in charge at the time not to spread nor teach in the name of Jesus. It was not politically correct according to man. But Peter and John answered them by saying in verse number 19, judge for yourself whether it be right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God. You've got to be able to tell what you're saying doesn't mean a hill of beans when it comes to what God says. I know what we like to say. We like to say, if I'm over here, I like to do as they do. And if I'm over here, I like to do as they do. But when I come to church, I want to do like they do in church. But you know, you can't play in the middle like that. Oh, you can do it for a little while. God may not stop you right away. But eventually, you're going to have to answer for all of that. You're going to have to answer for why you didn't stand. Why didn't you prepare for the winds that are going to come your way? Why didn't you prepare for the evil days that are going to come your way? When the wind of evil come against us, we still must be able to withstand. We must be able to withstand and stand on the Word of God. It's important for Christians to know that in Matthew 28 and chapter 19, Jesus gave positive instructions to the disciples. And in the very first word in that text is go. If we are to win others to Christ, we must first go. And if we can't go, if we don't understand what we're going for, and we don't understand that we must withstand. In the first century church, they worked hard trying to win others to Christ. Many of us, we hardly work. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 46, they went from house to house. But then in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4, they went everywhere. Some of us won't go anywhere. They went from house to house because they were preparing not only for themselves to withstand, but they were preparing to get others to be able to withstand. In order to draw others to Christ, too many Christians can't draw others to Christ because they don't understand Christ themselves. They don't know what they're standing up for. They don't know what they're withstanding against. That's why in Ephesians chapter 4 and 14, the Bible tells us to be not as children. Children can be so easily swayed. Children can be tossed to and fro. In any kind of wind, when you got children, you know, that's why when I was a kid growing up, when I was a little kid growing up, and people used to always say, let the children play together, because they'll fight one minute, and then the next minute, what will they be doing? They'll be playing again. Adults need to take a lesson from the children. Because we hold grudges for year in and year out. We can't seem to get it right most of the time. Children don't understand a lot of things. But neither do adults. Children don't understand trivial things that we take so much to heart against. Children don't understand why I should be mad at the other friend of mine because of that. That's no reason to be, but we get mad. We get mad, but one day we're going to have to answer for everything that we do in this life. And according to our text again, look at verse number 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days. And I got some news for you. The evil day is coming. You may not have had the evil day yet, but it's coming.
It's coming your way. The text says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The text does not say that just in case an evil day comes along, it lets you know that Satan is always busy. He's always busy standing against us and God, and therefore as Christians we must take a stand and be able to withstand against his desperate attempts to sway us from God's word. Isn't that right, church? Oh, I know what some of us like to think about. And I tell you this all the time, but I'm going to tell you again. Satan is not going to bother me. That's what a lot of us say. Well, the only reason he's not going to bother you is because he's already bothered you enough. And he already has you in his grip. But if he don't bother you, if you're not in his grip, he's going to come after you. Oh, yeah, so we got to prepare so that we will be able to stand the evil day. And I purposely didn't go any further in this text this morning because I don't want to talk about the whole armor this morning. So I didn't go any further. That's another subject. I mean, another sermon. So when we are able to withstand the evil day, then we'll understand that we are God's children. You know, we like to be God's children only when it's convenient for us. If this is a position that makes me look good, I'll be a Christian for now. If this is a position where I don't look good as a Christian, then I won't be a Christian. But I got some news for you. Little known fact, if you will. There are no part-time Christians. You're either a full-time Christian or you're not. And I know what some of us like to do. Some of us like to come to church to pretend. And you know what? The church is not a social gathering place. This is not a club where you can come and ask the preacher to hook you up with that sister that sits down in the front row all the time. I'm not hooking you up with anybody. Hook yourself up. I told you this before. As soon as you get hooked up, something goes wrong. You blame me for it. No, you're not. You're not going to blame me for it. So when you think about a church, we have to be prepared to ward off those evil days. We have to withstand that we might win. And let me see where my time is at. I got a few more minutes. We have to be able to withstand that I might win. I see some of you fanning. Maybe we ought to give a little air in here this morning. Maybe we ought to just set it up so nobody will be fanning because I don't want anybody. I want you to stay with me this morning, if you will. Can you stay with me for just a little while? I'll be through in just a few minutes. I'm almost done now. But I've got just a little bit more to tell you. When you think about it, church, life is compared to running a race according to Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. We are told that we must run this race with patience, because sin will so easily beset us. Tell me, church, what sense does it make to run the race for all of these years and then lose our souls because we were unable to withstand the devil or the evil days, in other words? What sense does it make to get in this race and not run it with patience and not run it until the end? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make very much sense at all. So when I go over to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse, turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1 there with me if you will. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, wherefore seeing we are also are compressed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's for all of us, church. That's not for some of us. That's for all of us. Run this race with patience that we might win. And then there are those who say, well, I've been running for such a long time. I'm tired now. Don't get tired. Whatever you do, don't get tired, because I got some news for you. The devil gets worse the older you get because he figures you're getting weaker. He'll give you a pain like you've never had in your life before. And you know what? And you'll say, I've been praying to God to get rid of this pain. I may as well stop praying. That's what he wants you to do. But don't stop. Don't give up. Don't give up, because that's one of the evil days.
Tell me, church, when you talk about running this race, what sense would it make if you ran the race three quarters of the way and didn't finish it? No, you want to run it all the way. So, preacher, tell me something. Well, if I run this race, tell me what prize will I get? What does the winner get? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter, go with me if you will to 2 Timothy. Over in 2 Timothy, the chapter is number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, around about verse number 6 through about verse number 8. I want you to notice what the text says. Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is what is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me." When, Paul? At that day. And then not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearance. Now that means I'm included in that, are you? You can't include yourself in that if you're not running this race with patience. You can't include, and he said that I'm ready. I know my time is up. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He was pretending, he was putting it in terms of being like an athlete now. He said, "I have finished the course," or a marine on his sailboat. He said, "I have kept the faith." And he said, "Now I've got a crown laid up for me. A crown, not just any crown. God is the deliverer of crowns if we withstand the evil day. And this crown will not be a crown like Jesus was forced to wear in Matthew 27 and verse number 29. That was a man-made crown, a crown platted of thorns. But that's not the crown that God has in store for us. That was the time that man said, let's put this on his head. But God's crown is one of righteousness and life. According to James chapter 1 and 12, blessed is the man that endures. That means withstands temptation. For when he is tried, he should receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that do what? That love him. Peter called it a crown of glory in 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse number 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." I tell you, church, it's worth running the race to get the prize. It's worth running the race to win the crown. It's worth running the race with patience, because in the end, well, I know it may not be profitable, and it may not be pretty living down here through all the turmoil we have to go through. And when people get on your nerve, people persecute you, and people upset you, you know what you ought to do? You got to do some of the things that I have to do all of the time. I have to go to God in prayer. Because I remember what Jesus said. They persecuted him, so you know they're going to persecute me and you. Can you get out of this life without hitting any bad spells? No, you can't. And I tell you this all the time, but I'm going to tell you this again. I'm going to tell you this again. There's going to be some storms in your life. If you haven't experienced one, I guarantee you you're going to experience one. Somebody said, "Well, I didn't have no storms in my life. I just had some bad luck." Well, that was a storm by some other name. "I lost my job." That wasn't because I hit a storm. That was bad luck. No, it wasn't, because you hit a storm in your life. And when the winds of a storm blow, guess what? It blows everything in its path, doesn't it? It just doesn't go around me and hit you. It gets me too. So storms sometimes will blow in this life. And if you think that you're going to get by without going through a storm, I have a lot of you. When the winds of the storm begin to blow down, do you remember when the winds came up at Jesus and they were in the middle of the sea in his boat? And somebody said, "He doesn't care if we sink. He doesn't care if we die. He cares about it." And somebody said, "What's wrong with the master?" They must have been scratching their head, thinking to themselves, "What is the master going to do now? Here we are stuck out here in the middle of the water." But what did Jesus say? He stood up and walked out.
know the evil day is coming. You want to be able to receive. You want to be able to say, Lord, bring peace in my life. There's a mountain before me, and I'm not all prepared to climb here. What can I do, Lord? Lord, put me on some set of shoes so that I can climb this mountain. When there's trouble in your life, and all you're prepared for is pleasure. You ask, you pray for the Lord and ask Him to remove the pain or that's in your way or the trouble that's in your way and give you some pleasure out of the pain you're taking. And your spouse doesn't act right. I know we have this. And your spouse doesn't act right. Either the Lord or him or her. I know sometimes we didn't get big in. And they want to handle it all by themselves. But I tell you something. The Bible said that woman is a helpmate. And what are you supposed to do with a helpmate? A helpmate is supposed to do what with you, I should say.
Say, help you!
Don't be able to come in here and say, hey. Don't do
that!
If she tells you how you did it now, all the answers to that, they're like you. If he tells you, you should have turned right back in, you say, no, I'm going to go left. And what happens? You might have been in the wrong place, and you're at the wrong time, and you, all you have to do is do what you say. She probably said, but not the way you do. You didn't know it. When trouble boils down, knocks on your door. When it knocks on your door, you have to be able to withstand those evil things. But you know something? I remember when I was working. Sometimes during the course of that month, I couldn't wait for that day to be done. And as soon as I got that check, you know what? I started counting how much I'm going to add on to the check to pay what I owe. That was trouble. So I had to get in a position where I could ask the Lord to show me how to get out of all this trouble that I was in. I found a way out, and that way is through prayer. I found a way out, and that way is through the Lord. I found a way out, and I was able to withstand the evil days. Because you know what? Some people can't withstand those evil days, and they turn to a life of crime. Come to church. Oh, yes. The old saying, the weak won't survive, only the strong survive. You better be strong in order to resist sin and evil did. I know that we like to say, I'm strong enough to handle all of this all alone. I'm big enough that I can take care of my own situation. I got myself into this. The evil days are going to come upon us. The evil days are going to come upon us, and the evil days, they will not be leaning on you because you are a good person. You got to get some help. And the only help that you can turn to is just to come knocking on my door. I'm just going to be a problem. I got my own problem. You know, I like to tell you all the time that when you get there, when we get there, I want to be at the gate. When you get there, I want to be already at the gate in line waiting to get in. And don't come looking at the preacher saying, preacher, can you help me get a better spot in line? I'm not getting out of line. I'm staying right in the line where I'm at. Because if I step out, I might lose my place. So if you want to get together, you get together now. Why do you withstand the evil day? Because once we get there, we're not going to be able to help. And I'm not going to try to help you. I'll be honest. I'll be helping myself. I'll tell you that all the time. If I can't help you now, don't look for me to help you. If I can't help you, if I can't say something to you along your way now, don't look for me to give you a smooth or a smart saying then, because I'm going to be saying all of the hope for myself. I'm gonna be petitioning the Lord on my own. Lord, I need this, I need that. Remember, and He's already gonna remember it. But I'm gonna try to jog His memory. I'm not gonna be jogging His memory for you. I'm gonna be jogging His memory for brother. Is that right, sir? you may withstand the evil day. That you may withstand the evil day. Get it right now. Because there won't be any second chance. A lot of folks think of just before I die, I'm going to get right with God. You may not have an opportunity to get right with you.
Get right now while you can. So, Paul, you know that song, let's get right, brother, let's go home. Well, we got to get right, brother, let's get go home, church. Because the evil day is going to come. I said enough, my time is up now.
I know some of you say I'm glad you're getting out of town.
But it's time for me to issue this invitation now so that you can get right. If you're not a member of the Lord, why you come out here and you leave and repent, confessing and then you get baptized? What a nice day it is to be baptized. If the water is cool and the temperature is warm outside, no, because I'm sweating up here, but y'all don't understand how warm it is up there. It is warm when you get up in this position. So I want you to know that if you want to get into the Lord, you can do that today. But brother, if we've not already done that, have you been faithful in it? If you haven't been faithful in it, you need to come back home. How do I come back home? Remember the story of the prodigal son. How he went away and did everything he wanted to do, and he ran out of money, and then he came back home. Well, you can do the same thing. You can ask the Lord to forgive you, and then march right up here at the church to pray for you. Isn't that right?
As we together stand, we gotta sing songs in faith. Come if you will, while we
God bless you.